to your word, that we may hear it today, that we may hear it inwardly from you directly, and then we may speak it. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You all probably noticed that I used the old introduction to the gospel. You know, it's hard to get over something. You know, it just kind of comes right out. I didn't plan to do that. I'm sorry.
We put him in our minds.
Yeah, I know. See, I know. It just comes out. What can I do? Did you guys? Well, happy All Saints Sunday.
Yes. And
All Saints was a couple days ago, but you know, this is All Saints Sunday, and here are all the saints gathered here. Well, not all of you. There are many others, obviously, aren't there? And that's part of the point of All Saints Day. On a kind of a related note, did you hear that Ken Mattingly died? Ken Mattingly, right. You know, he died on Halloween, October 31st, at the age of 87. NASA just released that a couple days ago. You remember him? He was an astronaut, right? Ken Mattingly. He was the guy that, you know, was credited with a lot of things of saving Apollo 13, right? He was played by Gary Sinise in that movie, Apollo 13, remember? And Ken was the one who didn't get to go on the mission, right? Because they were sure that he was going to get sick in space, so they wouldn't let him go. But because he was still on the ground, he was able to go through all those technical processes and help them figure out how to get the astronauts safely back. And so was credited with an awful lot of that. And Admiral Mattingly went on eventually to orbit the moon, Apollo 16, and he commanded two space shuttle missions. He stayed in NASA for a number of years before retiring as a rear admiral. And so, you know, we remember him. We also remember Matthew Perry. If any of you around remember Matthew Perry? He died as well, too. If you're a Friends aficionado, like my daughter, or she, may they rest in peace. You know, All Saints is traditionally a time to remember saints who have died, who have gone before us. And in some churches today, they will have a recitation of the saints who have gone before and entered into heaven, you know, and those who have graduated into life in heaven, right? The next level for a Christian, I suppose you could say. And I don't know if Ken Mattingly was a Christian.
I knew you knew.
What?
I taught his son in confirmation.
Did you? All right. So may his soul and the souls of all the departed rest in the mercies of Christ. Amen. And we'll also remember Ken Mattingly on Veterans Day, which is coming up very soon, and on Memorial Day. That's what those times are for, specifically those for those who served in our armed forces, right? And, you know, we have armed forces here, too. And that's what All Saints is about, okay? Saints are people who follow Christ, okay? We'll just try and make it simple for you there. You've heard that preached here before, that it's not just the canonized saints of the Roman Catholic Church that are saints. You know, you are saints too. And so I'm not going to preach that sermon, all right? You've heard that before. Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I mean to be one too, right? Yeah, exactly. Now stop there. Saints are people who follow the way. The way. You've heard that term used before. The way is one way of describing the Christian life. It goes way back. It actually goes back. I think it was, other than Jesus, it was Luke, the apostle, who first coined the term or used it written down in Acts chapter 19. He says, and about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. Okay. In Acts 22, Paul says, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women, throwing them into prison. Acts 24, then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. And maybe you've run across a church here and there called the way, you know, and it seems kind of cool and new age, or new kind of, not new age, but new thing. But it's actually quite old. If you want to say, what's your religion? You say, I follow the way. And you'll be understood there. Okay. Well, not by, you know, non-Christians, but you will be here. The way is a good description of our lives as Christians because it's a journey. When we become a Christian, we start a new journey. because we are a new person, a new creation in Christ. And so the way is a great way of describing those twists and turns that happen throughout life. Okay. It's a pathway. It's a path. And it's not just a one time and you're done kind of thing, you know, when you are baptized. Okay. There we go. I'm done. No, it's a life. Okay. That's what the way is. And like Yahweh being the great I am, that I am is an incredible description of himself, because he is the center of everything. He is the center of essence, basically. So therefore, what else could you call him but I am? What else could he call himself but I am? And so it's the same thing with the way. There is only one way to life. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and life, right? There is no other way. Therefore, it should just be called the way, because it's the way. It's a singular thing. And so we, followers of the way, are on that journey. We're moving forward. I think that's what related to what you were saying there. It's a journey. It's a pathway. It's a continual thing. It goes on and on and on. Now, as you know, Amanda and I were on vacation, and we had a wonderful time. We were at Metkin Abbey for 5 days. And you know, that's a Roman Catholic Trappist monastery. And so we attended some of the services, not all of them. And the interesting thing about that, and those who've been there probably know what I'm talking about, but when you leave, in your head, you can still hear the chanting of the monks. You can still hear that. I don't know if you noticed that when you were there, you know, but it just kind of goes on in your head for a few days. And it's really pretty cool, because they chant in, you know, the Psalms every day, multiple times a day. And that gets into your head, and it's pretty cool. And the monks of Metkin Abbey are followers of the way also. You've heard me talk about my friends in rural Uganda, you know. Dr. Peter is a Roman Catholic. And then his friend and my friend is a CEC priest there. And they are followers of the way, and so are their families, and so are their congregations. There are Christians in the Ukraine that follow the way. There are Christians in Russia that follow the way. There are those in Israel who follow the way, in Palestine, in Gaza, in the Chinese house churches, in India, and just about every other country in the world I could name have followers of the way. It's a diverse group who follows the way, isn't it? And what I'm trying to get to you right there, under help you remind you, is that you're a part of a very large thing. It's not just this little church here, okay? This committed group of believers, this committed group of followers of the way, there are much, many, many, many more of us out there. You're part of a family that encompasses the entire globe. And that's an interesting thing to think about on All Saints as well. Jesus describes followers of the way in chapter 5 of Matthew, what you just heard, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will be sons of God, right? That's right. Okay. But the thing that we have all in common as following is a belief and a commitment to Jesus Christ. We all pray to him as well, too. It's how we communicate with the Lord, okay? It's conversation with God. Maybe I want to change that a little bit. You know, conversation with God sounds a little too casual, because it's more than that, isn't it? Prayer is powerful and effective. And so it's not just chatting with God, because we had some of that at Metkin Abbey. I won't say any more about that. But your prayers are powerful and effective, okay? Things change because you pray. In Revelation 5:8, the Apostle John is standing in heaven witnessing God on the throne. Jesus, the Lamb, is standing there in the midst of the 24 elders. And then it says that now he had taken the scroll, that was the deed, to the earth. And the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You get that? Your prayers, incense before the throne of God right now. They're powerful. And it continues on. It says, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You may not think of your prayers as important, but they are. Did you get that in there? Kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. There are an incredible number of prayers in the Bible and answered prayers. Remember Nehemiah? He was the king's cupbearer, King Artaxerxes. You say that twice fast. And the king asked him why he looked so sad. Well, now, Nehemiah had prayed ahead of time before he went into the king. And, of course, you understand when you're around kings during that time, anything could happen. You could receive favor or you could have your head chopped off. And so Nehemiah had prayed ahead of time before seeing the king. And he said, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king. And then he said to the king when he was finally in his presence, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And the king said to me, what is it you want? And this is interesting what Nehemiah does. It says, then I pray to the God of heaven. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Now, you understand, that wasn't a long prayer that happened. It was one of those quick and silent prayers in between responses to two people. The king was not going to stand there long and wait for his answer. It's one of those, oh, Lord, help me, kind of prayers. And was it answered? Yes. Yes. And it changed the history of Jerusalem and the Hebrews and began to bring back those dispersed. Oh, yeah. God answered that prayer. You hear a very similar story in the book of Esther with Queen Esther and Mordecai. Their prayers are answered, the same kind of thing. Jesus prayed for us as well, too. He said, I will remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Answered prayer? Yes. You say, oh, well, there's so many denominations, you know, but you know what? There's one church, believers in Jesus Christ. There are many denominations, yes. Actually, there are three churches. I'll go into that. No. Anyway, we are followers of the way, aren't we? Paul instructs Timothy about the importance of prayer. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he tells the same thing to the Ephesians, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. James tells us to pray. You haven't heard this one in a while, but you probably remember it. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Moses prayed. Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? God listened to that prayer and answered it and did not destroy them. Daniel prayed. He confessed the sins of all of Israel before the Lord. And God heard his prayer. And of course, my favorite in Acts chapter 4. Now the Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And they prayed. The place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The Psalms are full of prayers, aren't they? And answers as well, too. I'll only give you two, all right? May my prayer be set forth before you like incense. May the lifting up my hands be like the evening sacrifice, Psalm 141, relating to the vision of John in Revelation and the golden bowls full of incense, right? Relating to us lifting our hands in worship as the morning or evening sacrifice. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my steps. And I think a lot of us can relate to that one. You may have prayed it before. You may have been comforted at some time in your life by Psalm 40. You may have even been pulled out of a horrible pit yourself. And I can go on and on through the Bible with examples of answered prayers of the saints, but I hope you get the picture. Your prayers are important. You are saints and followers of the way. And it is one of your key tools, weapons, whatever you want to call it. And so on this All Saints Sunday, we remember those who came before us, like I said in the beginning. Saints in this church who have graduated to the church triumphant. You understand what I mean when I talk about the church triumphant? I said there were three churches. I think there are four. Okay, there's the church expectant, the church militant, the church triumphant, the church on Zoom. No, you guys are the church militant. And I know that everyone up there is a strong prayer warrior for God. Three churches. The church expectant, those who don't know Christ yet. The church militant, those who do and are on the earth doing his will and expanding the kingdom. The church triumphant, those who have entered into heaven. And there are those from this church who are in heaven now. Church triumphant. In our, not an epistle today, but in Revelation chapter 7 today, we had a description of the church triumphant. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, language, people, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And the church triumphant, that's who that is. But you know what? They may only be part of that group there. Revelation doesn't describe time the same way that we do, because we're actually part of that group ourselves now. We're already there. All the church is there. It's not just when we listen to our music or praise and worship. It's all the time. You can name a few of the people who have gone before us from this church who graduated to the church triumphant. If you've been here for a few years, there are memorials all over the church if you look for them. Father Bill has a list of all the memorials. Many have been given. The most recent one is that risen Jesus back there in the corner for Aunt Sue Carlock. Those are things that were given in memory of one of the saints. So, anybody ever been to a seance? Don't raise your hand, because if you do, you'll have to confess and repent. Just don't do it, okay? Talk to us afterwards. People go to seances hoping to contact or communicate with someone who has died, right? And usually they want to know something, where did you leave the will? Or where's the TV remote or something? Or really, it's just because they miss them and they'd love to be able to talk to them one more time. A lot of times people want to find out if there's life after death in that case, too. Problem is, it doesn't work. It's not real and it's not right. Saul did it. He didn't get along very well in the Old Testament, so don't do it. But you see, prayer is our connection with the saints, with all the saints. And we may not pray to them directly, but we pray to God and they pray to God too. And that means that Jesus is the one who unifies us together, not just the church triumphant, but he unifies both them, the church triumphant over here, and us, the church militant. Believers all over the world right now who follow the way are prayers. Prayer is our common language. In Revelation chapter 21, since we're still in that book, the good news comes directly from God himself. He says, "See, I am making all things new." Wow. All things new. Yes, all things. That means you and me. That means all the saints, including those that we've loved and have moved on. Those who are dressed in white and holding palm branches right now. It's a permanent and indelible connection with the saints who have gone before us into heaven through Jesus, the way. And our prayers and the prayers of our loved ones are in those golden bowls full of incense right now, being lifted up to the King of Heaven continually. And listen one more time, especially if you ever wonder about whether your loved ones are in heaven or not. Behold, I make all things new. Not just some things, all things new, says the Lord. And that's real hope, not the false hope of a seance or some contrived belief in reincarnation. Now I want you to look around the church. Look at the saints. Look at those around you. Think about other Christians that you know. You know, maybe there are friends out there, you know, maybe your coworkers, anyone else who follows the way that you know of. Think about them for a minute. After lunch or after service today, we're having a lunch. Let me put that the right way. And the purpose is to spend time with each other. Okay. In honor of Mepkin Abbey, Amanda made Mepkin Abbey's seasoned green beans from their Abbot Joseph's recipe book. Spending time with each other is important. Knowing each other here, the saints gathered together. Because we have that indelible bond, that connection that transcends death and the grave. And now think about those members that you knew who have died. Those who've had memorials given to them here. Think about family members who have died. You see, fellowship is important. Why we do the chosen, isn't it? It's good to spend time with each other. The church triumphant is over here, and we are here. Get it? There's a song out on the radio now from For King and Country, and it says this. I'll try to sing it a little bit. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why are we wasting all the time like somebody's making more? What are we waiting for? Nobody's making more time. This is it. This is all we get. It's time for you to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Ken Mattingly's gone now. We can't ask him about Apollo 13 or the space shuttle missions or NASA anymore. No one's making more time. It's time for you to pray. Your prayers are important and they change things. Don't ever think that your prayers are not heard, that they are not listened to, that they are not answered. They are lifted up before God in golden bowls full of incense. They are not insignificant. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, according to St. James. This song goes on. It says, what are we praying for? What are we saving for? What if we could be the light that no one could ignore? What are we waiting for? Trying not to quote a popular TV series, but this is the way. Or better yet, Jesus is the way. The way, you praying to God. The way, you being with other believers, doing fellowship. You being the light that no one could ignore. You introducing the church expectant to Jesus. You introducing them to the way and helping them walk the way. You being a saint. This is the way. So what are we waiting for? Amen.